Amen. We'll bow together again, please. Just in a brief word of prayer, we'll seek the Lord. Just before we come to his word, I want you to pray that the Lord might speak to your heart, especially today. Pray the Lord will come down. He'll give us those signs following the preaching of his word. In other words, we want to pray that we'll see the Lord at work, that we'll see evidence that God has blessed and spoken through the word that has been preached. Father, we thank you for this witness. Pray you'll remember every aspect of it, all that is planned for this incoming week. Remember our committee as they meet tomorrow night. Thank you for men that know the Saviour. Pray that you'll give them wisdom and unity. Guide them clearly in the decisions that will be made. We ask, Father, you'll remember our Macrofell Church, even at this special time. We pray that you'll encourage them, our brother Ryan especially. Thank you for the leading of the Lord in his life, the call of God from the congregation there. Pray for your hand to be upon that special meeting on Friday evening. We pray that you'll anoint your servant as he commences his ministry there as an ordained minister of the gospel. Be with all that will gather in that place on that night, and we ask that it would be even a little time of reviving from the presence of the Lord. Remember, Father, those of our families that have been bereaved, lost loved ones in recent days. Remember Sister Sharon Irwin. Think of Lily Irwin too, and our Sister Thelma Gorman. We ask, Father, for all of these dear ones, our Sister Grace as well. We commend them just to your care. We ask that they would know at this time of loss the comfort that only the Lord himself can give. Pray that they would know round about and underneath the everlasting arms of the Saviour. Thank you for a brother and sister in our midst today as well. Bless the Reverend and Mrs. Dunlop. Thank you for Father, how you've encouraged them. You've prospered their labours. Guide them for the future. Pray you'll encourage them just at this time. Pray that they'd know your presence. They'll be blessed even by their time amongst us. We ask you to remember Rodney and Alma and the family especially. Keep them in health and strength. And Lord, prosper very definitely the labours of their hands. Hear our prayers. Lord, speak to us now. We ask that your voice might be heard by all in this house today, whether saved or unsaved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, please. The fifth chapter of Matthew. And words that are found there at the end of verse 22 are our text this morning. Matthew 5, the end of verse 22, it says, "But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." I want you to ponder those words just for a moment before we come to the message, especially the five words at the very end of the verse. Look at them carefully. Think of how solemn they are, speaking of those who are in danger. That often happens to us in life. We find ourselves in dangerous positions, dangerous situations, but think especially of the danger spoken of here. It should concern us, every Christian in the meeting. It should concern us as a church. It speaks of those who are in danger of hell, and especially in danger of hell fire. We have mentioned, it has been announced to you, that we're going to look this morning in our Bible study, in our message, at the theme of the fire of hell. You'll remember William Booth, the great founder and leader for many years of the Salvation Army, Not only was he a great soul winner himself, but he sought to encourage others. They set up a college for the training of recruits to the Salvation Army. One of the things William Booth said when he thought of those young men and young women in their training for the work of the gospel, one of the things that he said was he would have wanted those young Salvation Army cadets to have gotten a glimpse of hell. He'd have liked to have been able to have lifted the lid and for a moment or two let those young people look down into the flames, into the caverns of the damned, and just to hear, if it was only but for a second or two, the agony and the cries and the torments of those that are lost in that place. He thought of those young cadets got that glimpse of hell, that it would give to them a greater zeal in their soul-winning efforts. And in a sense, men and women, that is what we want to do in this meeting this morning. We want to lift the lid for a minute or two on that awful place called hell. We want you to take a look, as it is revealed to us in the Bible, we want you to take a look into hell itself. I want you to take a good, clear look at that place and think of those who are there and think of their lost condition. And I want you to think, as we have emphasized in the title, I want you to think especially of the fire of that place. And if we do that, men and women, I think it will give to us a little more urgency in our service, a little more urgency in our labours, and especially a little more urgency to reach the lost for Christ. You think of the words of our text again, in danger of hell. Think of those words quietly. Think of them carefully, earnestly, prayerfully in the Lord's house this morning. And pray, men and women, that God will cause those words to grip your heart today. Now remember that those words describe the condition of every unsaved person. Can I stress that? There are those in the gathering today, those among our families still out of Christ. Remember, this is the danger that you face. You're in danger of going to hell. You're in danger of perishing in the flames of that place for all of God's great eternity. The road that you're on, the Bible describes it as a broad road, but that road ends in destruction, men and women. It ends in perdition, in this awful place of which we speak. And we want to urge you, especially on the day that we close a special series of gospel meetings, we'd want you to close in with God, with his offer of salvation. But can I say to those in the meeting that are Christians, those that know the Lord, just think of it. Do you have unsaved relatives, unsaved neighbours, unsaved friends? Well, the reality, men and women, the reality this morning is that they are in danger, and they're in great danger. Those unsaved relatives and loved ones and friends that you have, they're in danger of hell fire, as this text describes and sets so plainly before us. Now remember, the devil wants you to forget that truth. The devil wants you to lose sight of that doctrine and of that reality. The devil wants to get you as a Christian sidetracked and diverted from the great work of winning others, winning the lost to Christ. The devil wants you to be taken up with other things, so taken up with those things that you have no time for the things of God, and you have no time especially to reach the lost for the Saviour. Brethren and sisters, I want to stress it, and I pray that God by His Spirit will write it and burn it into your heart this morning. Souls are in danger of being lost. Souls are in danger of being lost in the fires of hell. And if there's one thing that's needed, is that we would see that truth afresh, that it would grip us, that we would get a vision of that as never before. So we want for a moment or two to lift the fire, or to lift the lid of this place called hell. I want you to ponder with me, just quickly and simply, some of the truths that the Bible teaches us about the fire of hell. Remember that those loved ones of yours who are out of Christ, they're in danger of going to real fire. I want you to see that today. The fire of hell is something that is literal, something that is real, something that is actual. When we talk about the fire of hell, we're not talking about something that is imaginary, something that's figurative. We're not talking about something that is make-believe. It's real fire, men and women. It's as real as any fire that you have ever seen. I understand there was a fire last night in the little village of Lough Gaw. Well, any fire, men and women, that you have ever seen, wherever it has been, whatever time of the day or night, I want you to understand today the fire of hell is as real as any fire that you have ever experienced. Can I stress to you something you need to understand? When God says fire, that's what He means. He means fire, men and women. It's a simple truth, but it's something, men and women, we need to understand. Something we need to get a hold of today, as never before. You think of the fire and brimstone that the Lord rained from heaven down upon the cities of the plain, especially the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, it was literal fire, real fire. You think of the fire that consumed the captain and his 50 in the days of Elijah, the fire that fell from heaven. It was literal fire, men and women. You think of the furnace that the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were put into in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, it was literal fire. When Peter says that this earth is going to be burned up, that all the elements, all the things that you see around you, they will melt with fervent heat, it's literal fire, men and women, that he's speaking of. I want you to be in no doubt of that today. When God says fire, when he says there's fire in hell, when the rich man said, I am tormented in this flame, it was a real flame and an actual fire that was being spoken of. Brethren and sisters, think of that in the terms of your dear ones, your soul-winning efforts. The fire that your unconverted friends are in danger of today, it's a fire that is real. And as you ponder that this morning, if it should do anything, it should do this, men and women, it should cause you great concern for their eternal well-being. It should give you a greater zeal than you have ever had before to do something to bring those people to Christ. Do you remember the woman you read about in the Bible? She had this simple testimony. She had done what she could. Can I put it to you this morning, men and women, and you can face this in your own heart between you and God. But have you done what you could this past week to bring the lost to the gospel meetings? Have you done what you could to be a soul winner? There's maybe things that you couldn't do that others can. Gifts that God has bestowed upon others that you don't possess. But face the question. As the mission's almost over, did you do what you could during the last week to save souls from the fire of hell? It's real fire. Remember as well, the fire that your loved ones are in danger of, it's eternal fire, men and women. Not just real. That's bad enough in itself. But it's eternal. These fires that we're speaking about, that the Word of God teaches of, they don't just burn for an hour or for a day. Some of you that have stilled the fire in the hearth, you might light the fire this afternoon and it'll have burnt out before you go to bed tonight, especially if you don't tend it. But these fires don't just burn for a day or for a week or for a month. These fires, men and women, they won't burn out after a year or after a decade, even after a century. The fires that we're talking about this morning, that they won't burn out even after a millennium has passed. Get a hold of it today. The fire of hell is eternal. How long is eternity, men and women? Eternity is no end. Well, that is how long the fires of hell will burn for. You think of what Jude said, and he was talking about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Isn't that interesting? That what fell upon those cities, it was no ordinary fire. It was extraordinary. It was supernatural. It was eternal fire. It was the fires of God's judgment. It would even hint us if it was the very fire of hell itself. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Didn't the Savior speak about everlasting fire? Lasts forever. Mark on four occasions in the same chapter speaks about unquenchable fire. Remember the Savior said, the fire that shall never, pray the Lord to write that in your heart today, it'll never be quenched. It can't and it won't be put out. You think of Isaiah, there's that great theme through the prophecy of Isaiah when he talks about the everlasting things. When he talks about the everlasting burnings. It's not fearful, men and women. The fire of hell, it will never be consumed. The fires that burn in that place, they can never be extinguished. When a person goes there, they will suffer in those fires forever and forever. Oh, how solemn that thought is. In the 19th century, there was a great controversy that raged about hell in the land of Scotland. There was a minister in those days, James Morrison. He was a great student of the word, a scholar. He was a man that knew the Greek language well. James Morrison took his Greek New Testament and he read it through, studying every passage carefully that spoke about the punishment of the lost. And when James Morrison finished that detailed study, he closed the book of God, the New Testament scriptures in particular. And this is what he said, men and women. There is no hope for a soul that goes to hell. Will you see that today? May the Lord give you a fresh vision of it. There is no hope of that soul ever escaping the flames and the fires of that place, because those fires, men and women, burn forever. The real fire. It's eternal fire. Your loved ones as well, they are in danger of the hottest fire. You think of the question this morning, how hot are the fires of hell? I can't tell you the temperature, men and women, but I can tell you this. They are the hottest fires that you could ever imagine. The question's often asked, how can there be darkness in hell if there's fire there? The suggestion is the fire would bring brightness, at least bring some light. How can there be darkness in hell if there's fire there? That's a good question. Let me try to give you an answer to it, men and women. I understand that scientifically, the hottest fire is not light, but the hottest fire is dark. And what that means is there are no hotter fires than those that are found in the place called hell. Because it talks about the blackness of darkness forever. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, he said to his servants, heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now if men can do that, if men can intensify the fire, if men can intensify the heat of the fire, if men can make the fire so hot, then I ask you, what can God do? Because remember, God prepared this fire initially for the devil and his angels. Do you remember the rich man? He begged for a drop of water. Just one. Just think of what that would mean. If I had just one little drop of water on the end of my finger, that was what he was crying out for. A drop of water just to cool his tongue. It's not a reference to the heat, men and women. If he wanted to be cooled, it's suggesting to us the heat. Hell is a place of unbearable heat. And remember those that go there. And if that's true of some of your dear ones, they will never be able to get away from that heat. They will never be able to have it eased. And never be able to have it cooled. This, brethren and sisters, is the fire of hell. This is the fire that your loved ones are in danger of. You remember Nero? He was a monster. He was one of the emperors of Rome that persecuted the Christians. Nero is infamous for the fact that he fiddled. He sat with his musical instrument from a distance and he watched the great city of Rome as it burned. He was careless, hard-hearted. But you know, men and women, the same can be true of the church. And the same can be true of Christians. We can be so careless. We can be so indifferent about perishing souls. Just think of that wee word, perish. We sang about it this morning, rescue the perishing. Do you understand today? Do you really understand the condition that those out of Christ are in? That they're perishing, men and women. John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But if they die without Christ, they will perish. We can be so indifferent to that reality, men and women. Can I put the question to you this morning as we draw near a close? Having all of this knowledge, men and women, it's a great blessing, a great privilege to have it. But remember, it brings with it great responsibility. But having the knowledge that God has given to you of what lies beyond the grave for those that die without Christ, Can I ask you, how can you sit and do so little? In some cases, how can you sit and do nothing as souls are perishing? How can you rest so content, so much at ease? We sang those words a few moments ago. Let none hear you idly say, there is nothing I can do. When the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Do you remember what the Pharisees said to Judas Iscariot when he brought the money back, the money that he'd been paid to betray the Saviour? What is that to us? They were careless. They were indifferent. Is that our attitude, men and women? Those that we love the most, those that we care about the most in this world, they're in danger of going to hell. And is that what we say? Is that our response? What is that to us? We're so indifferent. How different that is to the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Do you remember what Paul said? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I have sought a little as God has given help today to show you the awful terror of that place. Paul said, knowing the terror, having some knowledge of it, what did he do? He persuaded men. And that's what we ought to be about, men and women. That means putting in every effort, doing all we can to plead with those souls, to come along to the meetings, to hear the words whereby they might be saved. Remember what Jude said? Pulling them out of the fire. Now remember, we can't save. It's God alone. Salvation is of the Lord. But that's a very clear, maybe one of the most graphic descriptions of soul winning that you will find anywhere in the Bible. It teaches that they're in danger of the fire. And the responsibility of us as God's people is to pull them out. Do what you can. Make every effort. Give your life. Give your all to rescue those souls that are in danger of that awful place. There's a gospel mission, brethren and sisters, finishing in the will of God this afternoon. Can I put it to you? Have you done all that you could to win the lost to Christ? Perhaps it would have to be said today that all this week you had no thought of inviting anybody. Never crossed your mind. You never took it upon your heart to bring someone along to the meetings. I say this to you, just my final statement. Remember again your family. Remember again your loved ones. Remember again your neighbours. Especially those that have no hope yet for eternity. And as you think of them this morning, remember this. Remember the words at the end of that text of Scripture. As you think of those people, they're in danger, men and women. In danger of hell fire. And I pray that God, by His Spirit, will not just write, but burn those words this day into all our hearts. May God bless His word for Jesus' sake.